This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
To Dorothy, a Son, by Roger McDougall.
Yes, darling?
Where's my orange juice?
I brought it in here, in the living room.
Oh, thank you, darling. You are sweet. Did you make yourself some breakfast?
No, I had some coffee.
Did you sleep all right?
I didn't go to bed.
Tony, you didn't stay up all night again.
I did.
You're very silly.
I know I'm very silly. Anyone who writes scripts for documentary films is very silly, but we need the money.
Yes, but why stay up all night?
Because it's the only time I get any peace, and I must get this job finished.
Oh, well, you'll soon get it done.
Yes, I'll get on with it now.
Mmm, this orange juice is delicious. Oh, darling, to save me having to get up, will you find my book for me?
Any idea what it is?
Well, I thought I left it on the table.
Well, what it looked like?
There's a woman on the cover lying across a bed with a dagger stuck in her throat or her bosom or somewhere.
I don't see it.
Oh, I remember. I left it on the desk.
No, darling.
Was it on the piano?
No, darling. Unless you'll settle for this one. There's a woman with a dagger in her hand, but she doesn't seem to have any bosom.
Oh, I've read that. Oh, Tony, you're not trying very hard. Oh, well, don't bother anymore. Just pass me the newspaper.
Is that all?
Yes, thanks.
Sure?
Yes.
Good. Then I'll get on with my work.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, darling, but just before you start...
I have started. What is it?
You've packed my knitting.
You gave it to me to pack.
I gave it to you not to pack.
Do you remember which case? There are three here.
The big one.
But I didn't pack the big one. You did. You put all the baby clothes and napkins in that one.
Are you sure?
Well, do you want me to unpack it?
Oh, no, no. The whole idea is that I'll be packed and ready to leave at a moment's notice.
No, it's a sobering thought, isn't it?
What is?
That we're about to launch a little stranger into the maelstrom of existence.
You are in a depressing mood this morning. Not fair of you to be like this on my last day.
I'm very sorry, but it's my last day, too, for this work I'm doing.
I don't know why I married you. You make more fuss about producing a tiddy little script than I do about the baby.
Perhaps now you'll appreciate the strain of creative work. Anyway, it's time you went for your morning walk.
I'm not going.
But Dr. Cameron said you had to walk right to the last moment.
Well, so I have. This is the last moment. I've walked about long enough. I can surely rest on the last day.
I suppose so. Give me a better chance of work. Now, just get on with your newspaper.
All right, I won't interrupt you again. Tony? Tony?
Yes?
Have you phoned the garage yet?
No.
Well, you better phone now. Tony!
Dorothy, I must get this finished today.
I'm having a baby today.
Look, we shan't be able to afford the baby unless I get this finished. Now, don't start crying.
You shouted.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shout.
You're leaving me to have the baby all on my own.
I'm very sorry, darling, but that's the way nature works things out. It's a bit one-sided, but what can I do?
All the books say the husband should be thoughtful and make allowances, especially towards the end.
That's for husbands with regular incomes.
She thinks your work was more important than the baby.
Of course the baby's more important, but we want to be able to feed it. Now, please.
You haven't run the garage yet.
Just let me get this finished first.
The phone, Tony.
I heard. Oh, I'm really... Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Parsons. My overdraft. Beyond the limit. Oh, that must be the cheque I gave the landlord. Well, Mr. Parsons, I'll be paying in £75 tomorrow morning. That'll cover it. Well, I don't see why you're making all this fuss.
Is that the bank?
Reduce my overdraft, Mr. Parsons. Well, do you want me to starve to death?
Tell him about the baby.
But you want me to live, don't you? I mean, so I can pay you back. I mean, otherwise I... Hello? Hello? Hung up on me.
What was it all about?
Oh, Parsons making a fuss about nothing. I gave Stanton a check for the rent, and it's going to bounce. So he's going to reduce our overdraft.
But why didn't you tell him about the baby?
In this hard, materialistic world, bank managers don't give overdraft because we've got a baby coming.
So what does it mean?
It means I pay in a cheque for £75 tomorrow. and all I can draw is 25.
He's practically stealing £50.
That's one way of putting it. Now, look, Dorothy, if I don't get this script finished, there won't even be another check to pay him.
All right, dear. You get on and I'll read the paper. Tony? You're wanted.
Oh, Dorothy, please.
But you're wanted.
Oh, can't it wait?
It's not me. It's the newspaper. Tony, where did you live with Myrtle? Boston, wasn't it?
Yes, Boston, USA.
It's you, all right. Come and see.
Dorothy, what are you nattering about?
I'm not nattering. It's on the front page of the legal notices. Will Anthony Reedy, formerly of Boston, USA, communicate with the London offices of Wildberg and Stark of Boston?
Here, let me see. Doesn't say I'll hear anything to my advantage, you notice.
What is it, do you think?
Haven't the vaguest.
Perhaps it's to do with Myrtle.
Myrtle? Well, we've been divorced nearly 3 years.
Did you owe her money?
Look, I don't owe everybody money, just almost everybody.
Well, I always thought it funny that you never talked about Myrtle. Can you be extradited for debt? Tony, what'll happen to me if they take you to America? You don't care, do you?
Dorothy, you know I care.
You haven't phoned the garage.
Oh, I haven't phoned the garage. Hello, Benson's Garage. This is Mr. Reedy speaking. Look, my wife's having a baby and... Oh, thank you. Thank you, that's very kind of you. Look, I want to order a car. At least I don't want to order one, but I just want to know that there's one standing by if I do want one. Thanks. Well, I've ordered the car.
You don't want the baby, do you?
Well, of course I want it.
I'm glad, because I don't.
You what? Oh, Dorothy, you're not yourself.
Never wanted it.
It's a bit late in the day to discover that.
I don't mind. As long as you want it, I don't mind, but I don't want it.
Why on earth not?
I don't like babies.
Now, Dorothy...
I never liked babies.
Oh, nonsense. Now,
I hate the very thought of babies.
Dorothy...
I wish I wasn't having it at all.
Oh, I must work, Dorothy, I must work. We'll talk about it later. I've got to get on with this script.
Yes.
You like our baby.
No, I won't. I hate it.
Well, we'll just have to get used to being hated.
Oh, don't.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't mean to say that. Look, just let me get this job done, and I'll be an ever-loving husband again.
Oh, I love you, Tony.
Oh, I know. And I love you, too.
And I don't really hate babies.
No, of course you don't.
Oh, go back to your work now. I'm all right. And I won't talk again until you've finished. Tony? Tony!
All right, I'm going. Yes, what do you want?
Your car, sir.
My car?
For Mrs. Reedy. She phoned for one urgent to take her to the hospital.
She didn't phone, I phoned. And I didn't phone for a car. I just wanted to make sure there was one standing by if I did want.
Oh, beg your pardon.
Who's that, Tony?
Well, they sent a car to stand by here. Now, look, please, go back to the garage until I phone.
Well, if that's what you want, sir.
Yes, that is what I want.
Tony, Tony.
Oh, Dorothy, what is it now?
I think I do want the car.
You want it? Oh, no. Hey, come back. You're wanted. Hey, don't go away. Don't go away.
Tony, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. You're always hungry.
I can't help it. Oh, I hope it doesn't go on much longer.
And I hope there won't be any more false alarms.
Dr. Cameron says there's nothing wrong with me, but 10 months seems a terribly long time.
Elephants take 3 years.
That was a horrible thing to say. You shouldn't say things like that to someone who's expecting a baby.
Good heavens, are you expecting a baby? Oh, you might have told
me. That's not funny. It isn't my fault the little pest hasn't arrived yet.
Perhaps he's heard you're going to hate him and he's just sticking it out until you change your mind.
Oh, Tony, don't be mean.
Oh, Dorothy, that was to make you laugh.
Well, it didn't.
Oh, think about something sad, then. Think about our bank balance. That should make you laugh. The post. The morning bills, no doubt.
Are there more than usual?
A billet doux from the landlord.
What does he say?
He's going to sell up our furniture. Isn't that nice of him?
Oh, no, Tony.
No, don't worry, darling. No British court would allow him to drag the bed from beneath an expectant mother.
We really have to do something. Well, what's the matter? Is that one another bill?
It's a letter addressed to Myrtle.
To Myrtle?
From the Spanish Embassy in Boston. Addressed to her, care of me.
The Does that mean he's coming here?
Apparently, it's his to await arrival.
Tony Rigi, this is all very mysterious. There's something going on that I don't know about. Advertisements in the Times, letters from the Spanish embassy, Merkel coming here. What does it all mean?
I wish I knew.
Well, don't pretend you don't know.
Darling, I haven't the faintest idea. And believe me, I couldn't care less.
Why did Merkel divorce you?
That got to do with it.
You never told me.
You never asked
me. Well, I'm asking now.
Well, for one thing, she didn't approve of my attitude to life. You see, she earned enough to keep us both, so I just wrote the kind of things I liked, poetry and that sort of thing. But it was unprofitable. The 2 whole years I was in America, I never earned a single dollar.
You mean she divorced you because you never earned any money?
Yes, I suppose she did.
Well, that's not a fantastic reason for divorce, even in America.
We weren't divorced in America. We were divorced in Bolivia.
Well, anyway, it wasn't very nice of her.
Well, that's hardly fair. It was just that, Myrtle lost her job. She had to give up her luxuries, and I was the first to go.
Well, now she's got herself a job again. She's coming back for
you. Oh, don't be childish, Dorothy. Myrtle was a mistake I made when I was very, very young. She had a simple beauty and a beautiful simplicity. A bright, intelligent mind like yours couldn't conceive what life with Myrtle was like.
What's she coming here for, anyway?
Probably just passing through London and wants to look me up.
Well, she's not going to look me up. Not going to see me like this. You can just write and tell her not to come. Or perhaps you want to see her.
Of course I don't. But it's very awkward, Dorothy. I mean, what can I say to her?
Well, that's your problem. As far as I'm concerned, you can tell her to go to hell.
Good morning. Myrtle.
Hello, darling.
What are you doing here?
I've come back, darling.
Look, Myrtle, don't be ridiculous. You can't come back.
Oh, silly boy, I'm back. I'll bring my case and close the door, will you?
Myrtle, you don't know what you're saying.
Yes, I do. I started all over, and I'm going to forgive you.
Well, you can't. It's too late. I mean...
You're not married.
Well, of course I'm married.
You got a family?
No, no family.
You're quite sure? No little boys or girls or anything?
Of course I'm quite sure.
Oh, that's something.
Well, what's it to you, anyway?
Can't let you out of my sight, can I?
Myrtle, you've changed. What's happened to you?
Oh, lots of things.
Such as?
Uncle Joe died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You'll be sorry to hear the next bit.
What's that?
He left me $1 million.
$1 million? Oh, you're kidding.
No, honest. I'm loaded.
$1 million, and he had to waste them all on you?
Wouldn't you like to help me waste them, Tony?
Yes, darling?
Who are you talking to?
It's Myrtle.
Yeah, it's me. Hello there.
Perhaps someone will tell me what's going on in this house.
Sure, I'm coming right up to see you.
Tony, stop her. She's got to come up here.
But it's only natural I should want to see what Tony's wife looks like.
Stop her!
Adolphus Upton, excuse me if I go and have a word with her, will you?
Hello? I want London. Aldwych 3434. And hurry, please. Hello? Is that Weilberg and Stark? Mr. Stark, please, and fast. Mr. Stark, it's Myrtle. Yeah, it's okay, I found him. Yeah, that's right, and he doesn't have any kids. What do you mean? We must wait until the 13th? Well, if he's got no kids today, we can't have any kids the day after tomorrow. Hasn't anyone told you the facts of life? Oh, okay, let's wait. Yeah. Well, it's only 2 days. Yeah, that's right, yeah, goodbye.
Is that the phone?
Oh, no, wrong number. Now, about this Dorothy character, is she coming down, or am I going up?
I'm sorry, but she's in bed.
Oh, nothing wrong, I hope.
No, everything normal, except for her weight.
Her weight? Oh, I see. Gee, she's not having a baby, is she?
We think so.
Right now?
No, not just at the moment.
Well, when do you expect it?
Oh, well, that's the moot point. My own feeling is that we'll be lucky if it's here by Christmas.
Oh, you had me worried.
Well, why should you be worried?
Well, about you going to be a father. You've no right to be a father. Oh, you've gone and spoiled everything.
But what have I spoiled?
A fine husband I picked for myself.
Myrtle, I am not your husband. You divorced me in Bolivia, remember?
Yeah, and they all talk Spanish. I didn't understand a word they said. How do I know I'm divorced?
Myrtle, you've got a certificate, a divorce certificate.
Yeah, and what's that in? Spanish.
If it's any comfort to you, I understood enough Spanish to follow what was going on.
Ah, Tony, but you know what it is. I don't feel divorced.
Tony, it's 1 o'clock. Is Myrtle staying for lunch?
Yes, I suppose so, dear. You'll stay for lunch, I suppose, Myrtle, but there's only raw fruit.
Raw fruit?
That's all we're allowed for the last fortnight. I'm on the same diet as Dorothy.
The last fortnight? But you said it wasn't due till Christmas. It's 8 months till Christmas. Now, let's get this straight, Tony.
Myrtle, never mind about Christmas. I was joking. The baby's overdue.
Overdue? You mean it might come any minute now?
Theoretically, yes.
Oh, this is awful.
Myrtle, what's come over?
No, don't talk, Tony. I've got to figure something out.
Yeah, there's something funny going on. Have you ever heard of Wildberg and Stark?
Yeah, they're Uncle Joe's lawyers.
They were advertising for me in the newspaper.
They were? Well, I wouldn't answer that, Tony.
Now, what do they want me for?
They want you because you owe $50 to Uncle Joe's estate, and you owe me money, too.
Well, I'll pay you back just as soon as I can get a little money.
Don't tell me you're earning money now. Oh, what will they think of next?
No, Myrtle, this has gone far enough. Now, get your case and clear out.
Oh, you don't mean you want me to go?
That's exactly what I do mean.
Tony, I've got no place to go. And anyway, I'm expecting my letters, and this was the only address I could give.
Well, I can forward them. Oh, one came this morning.
Oh.
Yes, here it is.
Oh, thanks. If you don't mind, I'll read it now. Oh.
Well, what's so funny?
You.
Me?
You're Spanish.
My Spanish? What are you talking about?
The divorce.
What?
We're still married.
Oh, but Myrtle...
We only witnessed the divorce.
Give me that letter.
Poor old Mr. and Mrs. Mayerhoff. They've been living in sin for 2 years now without knowing it.
It's ridiculous.
The Mayerhoff were divorced. We only signed as witnesses. If you hadn't been so proud of your Spanish, you'd have engaged an interpreter.
I understood every word that was said.
Sure, you understood everything. So, we all signed in the wrong places.
What's going on down there?
Oh, Myrtle, if this is true, what about Dorothy?
Oh, gee, that's awful. She'll be an unmarried mother.
Dorothy, are you awake?
I haven't been asleep. I didn't sleep all night.
Neither did I.
You did. I heard you snoring. Or perhaps it was Myrtle. Does she snore?
I don't remember.
Of course you must remember. She's your wife, isn't she?
Now, Dorothy.
Why don't you go away with her and her money and enjoy yourself?
Enjoy myself? You don't seem to realize, Dorothy, that it's just as big a shock for me as it is for you.
Go away and leave me alone.
Oh, don't talk nonsense, Dorothy. How could I possibly leave you when you're just about
to... Go on, leave me. It doesn't matter what happens to me. Desert me.
I can't desert you. We're not married. I've deserted Myrtle.
Oh, I wish I were dead.
Oh, this would happen to me.
To you? What have you to worry about? You're sitting pretty.
I'm not sitting pretty. I'm very unhappy.
Isn't $1 million enough for you?
The money doesn't come into
it. No? Then why don't you divorce her?
I can't divorce. I keep telling you, I can't divorce her.
You only tried once.
She hasn't given me guns for divorce. My lawyer was round with her lawyers first thing this morning. He's seen all the papers, and he said I'm still married to Myrtle, and there's nothing I can do about it. She could divorce me, but she claims that my infidelity with you is... purely technical.
Don't you dare refer to our marriage as infidelity.
Well, it is a little difficult to find the word that does describe it. Well, it's bad enough for you, I know, but think about the baby when it arrives, poor little thing. It might help you to know, Dorothy, that Myrtle's willing to adopt it.
She's willing?
Well, I think it's rather sweet.
What about me? I've sacrificed a year of my life. I've been sick. I've been miserable. I've dieted. I've done every blessed thing the book said would be good for me. I need to risk my life for it. And she wants to adopt
it. She doesn't want to adopt it. She's only willing to adopt it.
Hand over my baby to be brought up with an American accent. Well, maybe she can buy you back with her dollars, but she can't buy my baby.
She can't buy me back. She already owns me, and she doesn't want to buy your baby. She feels responsible for it, because if she hadn't started the divorce, which we never got, all this would never have happened. We've just got to face up to the situation.
The situation is that you prefer Myrtle and her dollars to me and my baby.
The situation is that I'm married to Myrtle, whether I like it or not.
And don't pretend you don't like it.
I do not like it. I accept it.
Gratefully. But don't think I'm going to accept anything. You can live on her charity if you like, but I've some pride left.
Oh, Dorothy, darling, please don't cry. Everything will be all right.
Oh. You'll send her away, won't you, Tony?
Of course I'll send her away.
No one could expect me to have a baby with all this going on, could they?
No, of course not.
But I'll have it soon now. I sort of sense it. I feel peaceful and resigned. Kiss me, Tony. Go and get on with your work now. There. I'm sure the baby will come today.
That'll help too. It's been a strain for both of us. Now, try and get some sleep.
Tony, I know you're just dying to talk things over, and you know I am too, but I'm just ravenous. And I just can't think straight when I'm hungry. Now, I'm going to start fixing lunch. Oh, I bought some things while I was out this morning. And you know what I got for you?
What is it?
Pâté de foie gras.
Oh, Myrtle, you shouldn't have done that.
And I got loads of fruit, too, for Dorothy.
That's very nice of you, Myrtle, but Dorothy likes me to buy her fruit.
So you bought it.
But she'll guess.
Look, Tony, Dorothy is your problem. There's her fruit. If she likes to play guessing games with it instead of eating it, that's none of my business. Now, for us, I'm going to fix a proper lunch.
Cody!
Dorothy, you're supposed to be asleep.
I know, but I want to ask you something.
Oh, coming. Now, darling, you said you were going to sleep.
I can't sleep until I know. Is she going?
Well, I haven't got round.
Well, she's wheedled you out of it.
She didn't wheedle me out of it. I haven't had an opportunity.
Well, you've been talking to her, haven't you?
Well, I'm seeing my lawyer again this afternoon. It's better to leave it until then, and then I'll have everything straightened out.
I don't see that you need a lawyer to tell her she's not wanted.
Well, I can't just throw her out of the house.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, I don't think a husband is allowed to throw his wife out of the house.
I don't think the husband wants
her. Of course I want her to go, but I don't want to be unnecessarily cruel. It isn't Myrtle's fault that she's still in love with
you. So she's still in love with you?
Well, obviously.
That's the one thing about Myrtle I find difficult to believe.
It seems quite natural to me.
It would.
I wish you'd leave me to handle Myrtle in my own
way. I could trust you not to handle
Dorothy.
Her.
Dorothy.
Lunch will be ready in a moment, Tony, okay?
Oh, go and shut the door.
Look, don't you think it's about time you and Myrtle got
together? Shut the door from the outside.
Oh, you look all in, Tony. I bet you could use a drink.
Oh, thanks.
There. Now, you just lie back and relax. Just forget all about wives and babies and marriages and divorces.
Oh, it's all so complicated.
Sure it is, but just forget for a while. Have this drink and pretend it never happened at all. Pretend we're back where we started, just the two of us. Dreaming about when we'd be married. Dreaming about all the things we'd do when we were rich. Oh, that's what I like best when I think back. You and me together. And it's still you and me.
No, don't do that. You're completely immoral, Myrtle.
All I do is kiss my husband and I'm immoral. You go around having illegitimate children.
I do not go around having illegitimate children.
Well, how do I know? You've got one anyway, or gonna have.
It's a distortion of the facts to call it illegitimate. I had it in good faith.
Oh, I'm only kidding, Tony. Can't you take a joke?
It's not a very good joke.
But it is funny when you think about
it. When I think of it, it's not funny at all.
But you used to think everything was fun. What's come over you? Oh, you must be tired. Come on now, I'll freshen up your drink. There you are.
Oh, thanks. Now, look here, Myrtle. We've got to get this straight. I'm staying with Dorothy.
Tony, you don't think I'd let you leave her? Oh, gee, you must think I'm pretty mean. Of course you must stay with her as long as she wants you. Me too.
Myrtle, you don't understand.
Sure I understand. You feel kind of responsible for what happens. Well, so do I, Tony. We both owe it to Dorothy to stay right here and see she has the best we can buy her with my money.
Myrtle, I don't think you're quite following me. What I'm trying to tell you is that I'm staying with Dorothy for good.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's only right that you should think that way right now. But Dorothy won't let you. Not when all this is over and she knows I'm your wife and you're still in love with me. She'll know there's no happiness for her standing in the way of your happiness. Oh, Tony, I do love you.
Now, Myrtle, please.
Oh, I'm so happy when I'm with you. Of course, we can't spend the whole day making love, can we? Not with poor little Dorothy up there. We can't be selfish. Do you think she'd like me to make her a fresh fruit salad?
Myrtle, it's very sweet of you, but I
don't mind doing it, Tony. I don't mind doing anything for you.
I'll take it.
No, I'll answer it. This is the Riggy residence. Oh, Mr. Riggy. Who wants him? Oh, well, this is Mrs. Riggy. I'm afraid he's not available at the moment. Yeah, yeah.
Who is it, Myrtle?
Yes, I'll tell him.
Who is it?
My lawyer.
But he wanted to speak to me. Hey, give me that phone.
No, Tony.
Give it to me. Hello, this is Anthony Riggy here. I believe you wanted to speak to me. Mr. Starr. Oh, yes, I saw your advertisement.
He's talking a lot of nonsense. Don't listen, Tony.
What's that? Have I got a son? No, I haven't got a son.
He's got it all wrong.
Could I have a son before 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? Oh, that's rather short notice, but for heaven's sake, Mr. Stark, why?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Be quiet, Myrtle. Inherit a fortune? Well, wait a moment. Let me think. Yes, it is possible. My wife's having a baby. No, not your Mrs. Riggy, my Mrs. Riggy. The woman I'm living with. Well, if you like to put it that way, I did marry her.
It's all a mistake, Tony.
Myrtle, please. Look, I'll phone you back. I can't hear you very well. Goodbye. Myrtle,
You knew about this.
Knew what?
That if I had a son before 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, he'd get Uncle Joe's money instead of you.
I did not. I didn't know anything. Oh, Tony.
Pretending you were in love with me.
Oh, Tony, I am. I am.
I don't believe a word you say. Dorothy! Dorothy! Wake up, Dorothy. I've got some wonderful news. If you have a son by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, he's a $1 million baby. $1 million. Isn't it wonderful?
Tony, you're all over lipstick. You've been kissing that.
But Dorothy, didn't you hear? $1 million.
Good morning, darling. Here's your orange juice.
Don't call me darling when you don't mean it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Why did you kiss her?
For the same reason I called you darling, force of habit. She is my wife. Anything else?
No. Except you didn't think I'll marry you.
I don't.
If I had a son in time and he gets the money, she'll divorce you. You wait and see. And you needn't come crawling to me. I won't marry you.
Now, Dorothy.
Don't call me Dorothy either. My name's Miss Heatherly.
Good morning. Well, I didn't hear any alarms in the night. Everybody's still here?
Yes.
A little Dorothy has exactly 25 minutes to come across. Doesn't look like he'll make it.
There is such a thing as spontaneous delivery.
What's that?
It usually happens when there are policemen about to act as midwives and get highly commended.
Oh, don't be funny. If she gets the money, you needn't think I'll divorce you.
I don't.
Remember, he was my Uncle Joe.
Quite. What are you doing?
I'm setting the alarm for 9 o'clock. Yes, he was my Uncle Joe. She never even met him. He didn't even know she existed. It was my son he meant to leave it to, not yours.
You haven't got a son.
It was to come to me if I didn't have a son. But he wanted it to go to my son if I had one.
Then why did he leave it to my son?
Well, naturally, he thought your son would be mine, too.
You mean you never told him about the divorce?
No. No, he had funny ideas about divorce. I figured he might change his will if he knew.
You weren't very clever, were you, Metal?
Don't think it'll help you if she gets it. It's her baby, and she doesn't want you. And I won't divorce you. And I don't think Uncle Joe would like it.
Tony!
Yes? What's the matter?
I think you should phone the maternity home.
Very well, Miss Hetherington.
Say, how many dames do you keep up there?
Dorothy has reverted to her maiden name.
She's picked a fine time.
Hello, is that Dorking Maternity Home? This is Mr. Rieger here. I'm phoning to let you know that my wife will be coming in shortly. What? Yeah, that's right. The booking was for 4 weeks ago. Hello? You're full up. Oh, that's rather awkward, isn't it? Oh, no, I understand. Goodbye.
Full house? Oh,
apparently 3 babies have already been brought into the world in the bed we reserved, and the 4th is expected at any minute.
Tony, did you phone the maternity house?
Yes, darling, but I'm afraid they're full up.
Surely they have extra beds. Oh, never mind. I don't think I'll have to go yet, after all.
Oh, no, not again. Well, we'll just have to rely on Dr. Cameron.
That's it. 9 o'clock. Ha! I get $1 million. Oh, doesn't seem so much to make a song and dance about now that it's settled.
Oh, money's like that. You can't do without it until you have it. When you have it, you've got to find a new standard of values.
Oh, you're awfully nice, Tony. No hard feelings?
No feelings. I'm numb. Bruised, battered, and beaten.
Gee, I love you, Tony. Now, honest this time.
Oh, wasn't it honest before?
Well.
I see. Oh, well, it'd be nice knowing you. Next time we'll have to get a divorce that sticks.
You're right. You'll just have to stay with Dorothy. Oh, I was being selfish.
Oh, yeah? A poverty-stricken father-to-be hasn't much to offer a gal with $1 million, has he?
You've got other things. Well, I'd better go and see my lawyers.
Dorothy. I'm sorry.
What for?
Kissing my wife.
She's not your real wife, is she?
No, she's not. You are.
Are you very disappointed?
About what?
That I didn't have it in time.
Are you?
I don't want the money, Tony. I want my baby.
Oh, that's all I want, too. The money doesn't matter. It was hers, really. What we want is a nice, fat, healthy baby. Oh, well, it's all over now, anyway. And you've been wonderful, darling. I don't know how you stood up to it all.
You do love me, Tony.
I love you, darling, more than anything, more than everything. It's just us now. Us and the baby.
You didn't really love Myrtle, did you?
Of course I didn't.
Even when you were married?
Darling, I've told you. Myrtle was a mistake I made. We all make mistakes.
Kiss me, Tony.
Back to the grindstone.
What?
Oh, nothing, darling. Just back to work. My financial status is now a penny halfpenny, a $5 bill, and an overdraft of £250.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Tony.
Oh, it's not your fault.
Nearly 5 weeks overdue. Well, perhaps I was trying too hard. All I had to do was have a baby like any normal woman. I couldn't do it.
But, darling, it doesn't really matter. It might have been a girl anyway.
It was so near. Like getting a football pool right and not posting it. If only Uncle Joe had died later. Tony?
Yes, dear?
Where did he die?
In New York.
His time isn't the same as ours.
No. What do you mean?
He died American time.
That's right. He died American time. Are they ahead of us or behind us?
Tony, I think they're behind us.
Oh, which way does the sun go? From east to west. That means... just wait a minute now. Mm-hmm. America's west of us. The sun rises in the east, so we get it first. That means it's still night there when it's day here. Oh, but is it last night or tonight? Well, how do we find out?
An atlas?
No, almanac. Have we got one?
Oh, it's in that small bookcase over there. Tony, think of the radio. When you hear a program at night, it's an afternoon program. When do you hear a boxing match?
In the small hours of the morning. Now, don't worry. I found the almanac.
Oh, good.
We'll soon know. Here it is.
Oh, what does it say?
They're 5 hours behind. Dorothy, you can still make it, but you've got to hurry. Any news, Dr. Cameron?
No, and if the Baron's not wanting to come, there's nothing I can do, nor Mrs. Rigi either.
Dr. Cameron, there's £500 for you if we have a son before 2 o'clock.
There's no need to go harping on it. I know all that. I'll do what I can to oblige you. But it's in the hands of Providence. I'll do what I can to expedite the Almighty's work. More than that, I cannot promise.
Can I go out and see Dorothy?
No, just leave her be. She's very comfortable and everything's going to be all right.
Ah, but will it be all right? I mean, her having the baby here instead of at the maternity home.
I'm here, am I not? And the nurse. No, please keep away, Mr. Eagy. You're only spoiling our chances.
All right, Tony. Give.
Give? We've got an extension till 2 o'clock.
What's all this time business? I've been to my lawyers and they said you'd phoned and you were pulling a fast one.
Myrtle, I know it'll be hard for you to appreciate that America can be behind Britain in anything, but there it is. You may lead us in everything else, but in the matter of time, we are, in point of fact, 5 hours ahead.
I don't get it. How can you be 5 hours ahead? Time's time. Now's now. Now can't be 5 hours ago.
Myrtle, what time do you think it is in New York now?
Well, there's the clock. 10 minutes after one.
No, it's 8:10 this morning.
You're crazy. Hey, what are you trying to prove?
I'm trying to prove that at this time a year ago, your Uncle Joe hadn't died. By British time, he died at 2 o'clock. So we've got until 2 for the baby to be born. Exactly a year after his death.
My Uncle Joe died at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Look, Myrtle, come and sit down. Now, I want to explain. The Earth is a globe like this.
Mm-hmm.
In one half of it, the sun shines down. On that half, it's day.
Yeah.
The other half is in shadow. It's night there. The Earth turns round very slowly. As it turns, the day keeps breaking in the east, the sun keeps setting in the west.
Oh.
When the sun rises here in Britain, it's still night in America. Then, as the Earth spins round, the sunlight creeps out over the Atlantic, and in 5 hours' time, it reaches New York.
Gee, that's fast. That's faster than a plane. I thought you said it was slow.
It's fast. Now, at that time, when it's only dawn in New York, it's mid-morning here in Britain.
At the same time?
No, it's a different time. You take your time from the sun.
Well, I take my time from my watch.
And if your watch stops?
Well, I just ask somebody. Now, look, you just stop all this nonsense. You're up to no good, Tony.
If you don't believe me, ask Dr. Cameron. He's upstairs.
Yeah, and you'll have fixed him, too.
Would you believe the American Embassy?
Well, I'm not going to ring up the American Embassy and ask a darn fool question like that.
What's the number?
Grosvenor 0727. But I'm not going to talk to them.
Hello, is that the American Embassy? There's an American citizen stranded here who needs your help. She wants to ask you a very simple question. Now, will you give her a very simple answer? Good, thank you. Here she is. Here you are, Myrtle.
What time is it in New York, please? 8:12. Are you sure? Right now? No, that was all, thanks.
Satisfied?
If you had a plane, a rocket plane or something that went very fast... Mm-hmm. Say it would get to New York in 4 hours, huh? Mm. You'd get there an hour before you left here, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, Myrtle, you...
Don't interrupt me, I'm losing it. Yeah,
Yep, I can see it. If you kept on going in that plane, you'd keep getting to some place before you left the place you started from. Yeah. Well, that way, you keep getting younger and younger. You'd never die. Maybe that's the secret of immortality.
Myrtle, are you satisfied that it's only a little after 8 o'clock in New York?
Yeah, I see it now very clearly. Gosh, I think we've hit on something, Tony. Do you think anyone's ever figured it out before?
I think Professor Einstein may have had a shot at it.
But he couldn't quite grasp it, huh? Well, it's tricky too. Keeps slipping away.
Myrtle, I want to talk to you about money.
Oh, but this is bigger than money, Tony.
Uncle Joe's little nest egg is quite big enough for me. In fact, it's too big. I've decided that $500,000 will be adequate for my modest needs.
If you could build enough planes to take everybody with you, then...
Myrtle, listen to me.
Yeah, I'm listening, Tony.
I don't know what the exact provisions of the will are, but I promise you that if Dorothy has a son before 2 o'clock and the money comes to us, half of it will go to you.
Oh, well, that's very sweet of you, Tony.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, good morning, Mr. Johnson. What? Figure made, did you say? Oh, now, look here, Mr. Johnson. I know it's a crime technically, but surely... look, you're my lawyer. You ought to be on my side. Prosecuted for bigamy? Yes, I'll hold on. Myrtle, what have you been up to?
Yeah, I could have had you up for bigamy, couldn't I? Yeah, it serves you right. Maybe that's what I'll do at that.
Myrtle, if you... Yes, I'm still here, Mr. Johnson. But I sent you all the documents 2 days ago. You got both marriage certificates. Yes, we were married in the Friendly Islands, Tonga. On the 12th of October. What, sir? Oh, when did we get there? Well, it'll be marked in my passport. Just hold on and I'll get it for you. Well, Myrtle, you thought you were pretty smart, finding out we'd never been divorced. Do you know what I've found out? We were never married. Never married, you hear?
We were married, I remember that.
We went through a form of marriage, but it wasn't valid. We lived in sin for 2 years.
Tony Wiggy, you're just fixing things the way you want them. You're just trying to get out of being a bigamist. You know very well we were married. You were there.
Dr. Cameron.
Aye. What is it, Mr. Riggy?
I'm sorry to trouble you, but will you please tell my wife we're married?
It's a bit late in the proceedings to tell her that. Now, don't you worry. Everything's going to be all right.
What's he mean? Well, what do you mean? You've got them all ganging up against me.
It's very simple, Myrtle. To get married in the Friendly Islands, you need a 7 days residence qualification. We'd been there only 6 days when we were married. It was my fault. I made a mistake. It was very easily made.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, you see, on our way over from Samoa, the plane crossed the date line.
What's the date line?
Oh, it's the place where the new date starts from.
Oh.
On one side of it, it's a certain day, say the 6th. On the other side of it, the day before, the 5th.
Where is it?
In the Pacific somewhere.
Well, if I was on one side of it, it'd be today. And if I jumped over, it'd be yesterday.
Or tomorrow, depending on which way you jumped.
What are you taking me for, cooking up all this nonsense? First, when it's now here, it isn't now in New York. Well, that's bad enough. But when it's today someplace, it's yesterday if you cross the line, and tomorrow if you come back the other way.
Myrtle, I didn't make this up. The line is there.
And you're asking me to believe that because we crossed that line, we're not married?
No, not because of the line. We're not married because we stayed in Tonga 6 days instead of 7 days. On the way over in the plane, we crossed the date line. I got muddled, and we lost a day.
You lost a day? My, aren't you getting careless?
Don't you understand? We left Samoa on the 5th.
Sure. I can remember things, too. I can tell you what I was doing. I was modeling for a travel series for Lulu Beachwear.
We flew to the Friendly Islands, and we got there the same day. Remember that? The place was Tonga.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, I'll never forget it.
But in Tonga, it was the 6th.
I was happy there. It was like the magic island you read about. You were all tanned brown in the sun, and you laughed all the time. You never stopped laughing.
It was the 6th.
Yeah, when you kissed me. Even when you kissed me, I was laughing deep inside me because you loved me.
We were married on the 12th, and we'd only been there 6 days. Mr. Johnson found it out from my passport.
And you were going to marry me, and all my life would be you and kissing and laughter. Oh, Tonga was swell.
6 days, so you see it was invalid.
We had our honeymoon there, too. Oh, gee, Tony, I want to cry.
Oh, dear.
We were never divorced. We were never even married. Oh, but we did know each other, didn't we? I'm not just making it all up. All the fun we had, all the places we went, all the things we did. That was real, wasn't it, Tony?
Yes.
Oh, that was the happiest I ever was. When you liked me and liked to be with me. And when you were gay and tender. Oh, but you're not tender anymore, are you, Tony?
I don't see why I should be.
No. Well, why should you be?
Why should you be? You've got another woman now, and you don't care about me. She gets all your love and tenderness and all my money. Gee, I'm a sucker, mooning on about the way I love you when you're trying to double-cross me.
No one is double-crossing you.
You're right there. Not even you, Tony Riggy.
I've told you that even if I get the money, which seems increasingly unlikely, you'll get half of it.
So, I'll get half of my own dough, will I? Well, you're mighty generous with my money.
I'm not being generous, I'm being fair.
Oh, you've got it all figured out, haven't you? And me? I don't know nothing. How do I know you've got a wife? I've never even seen her. How do I know what you keep up there? It might be a record player. And even if you've got a wife, how do I know she's having a baby? You might smuggle one in. It's been done before now,
oh,
you know.
Oh, for heaven's sake, man, to be sensible.
How do I know what's going on up there? How do I know he's a doctor? And even if she's your wife and she had a baby, how do I know it's yours?
Myrtle, please.
Well, how do I know it's yours? I'm going up there to find out exactly what's
Myrtle,
going
on. Myrtle, you're not going up there. Dr. Cameron?
I'm going, and nobody's going to stop me. Doctor, can I be of any help? I can't bear being downstairs doing nothing.
Oh, women. Dorothy, Myrtle, all I want is to be left in peace to write the things I want to write, and they do this to me.
Tony, oh, it's wonderful. You've got a baby, it's arrived.
Oh, it has?
You've got a baby. You've got the cutest little daughter.
Oh, I've got a baby. I've got a daughter.
Oh, she's just the cutest thing.
Oh, I'm a father. Oh, how's Dorothy?
Oh, she's fine, just fine. But you can't go up.
Oh, and I've got a daughter.
Dr. Cameron will call you when it's time to go up.
Oh, Dr. Cameron. Oh, he doesn't get his £500.
And poor Tony.
Poor Tony? Oh, no, I couldn't be happier. Well, what does it matter? I've got a baby. I've got a little girl.
I have to make a phone call to Boston, USA. Do you mind?
Oh, go right ahead. Oh, but poor Dorothy, it's been such a long time.
I want Boston, USA. Yeah. Boston 07231. Oh, yes, you'll call me that. Well, this is Dorking 9923. Yeah, okay.
Hey, Myrtle. There's something the matter with it. It's crying.
Don't be silly, Tony. Babies always cry after they're born. Oh. They have to fill their lungs with air or something.
Oh, I see. Oh, anyway, I feel like a $1,000,000.
Mr. Eagy, what's the time?
Oh, the time? Well, let's see. 2 o'clock exactly. Yes, I set an alarm clock this time.
We've done it. I told you not to worry.
But it's a girl.
Here's another. A boy.
A boy?
Aye. Twins.
A boy?
Oh.
No, don't come up yet. I'll call you the moment.
Oh, Myrtle, we've got twins. I can't believe it.
I don't believe it either.
Oh, a girl and a boy. Oh, hasn't Dorothy been wonderful?
Well, they say about the British they lose every battle but the last. What they don't say is how they win the last one.
Oh, there were no babies smuggled in, Myrtle.
No, it just muddled through right on the tip.
Oh, that's what it did. It's a little British boy.
Well, I guess you win.
Oh, Myrtle, I'm the happiest man in the world.
The things your women do for you. Dorothy gives you twins, and I give you $500,000.
And I love you both. Dorking 9923? Your call to Boston, Myrtle.
Oh, thanks. Hello? Hello, is that you, Hank? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just fine. We get $500,000. Yeah, well, it's not bad considering. He could have taken the lot. Yeah, he had a son, right on the pip. Say, Hank, what time is it over there? 7 minutes after 9. Well, what do you know? It's 7 after 2 here. 2 in the afternoon. Honest. Well, look after yourself and give a big hug and a big kiss to Papa. Yeah, see you soon. Bye.
Who was that?
Oh, that was Hank.
And who's Papa?
My little girl.
What?
Yeah. I'm married back in the States. Didn't I tell you?
Myrtle, then you were a bigamist, too.
Don't be silly, Tony. We were never married.
And be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8, and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment, brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week, then, a very good night to you all.